This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. I am Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Mike Fisher is going to join the program a little bit later on from Cowboys Insider. So talking a lot of NFL with America's team later on. We're going to have Lou Finicaro and Blake Topmeyer is going to join us in hour number three. Of course, catch up with UFC Abu Dhabi with Lou. Talk some college football with Blake as well now that media days have ended for the SEC. But we are underway with round number two right now at the 3M Open in Minneapolis. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
And being underway, Ben Cole swept in the lead last night, 9 under par. He's increased the lead. A birdie on one. Wake up, Ben Coles. First guy out. First guy to make a birdie. He is now 10 under par. 3-shot lead over the rest of the field. That field, of course, includes Scottie Scheffler, who will be out there shortly as well. He is at 6 under par, so currently 4 shots back. Again, Ben Coles, we've seen him in the lead here not that long ago in the PGA Tour. Couldn't hold it on the 72nd hole a couple weeks ago. But Jensen, what a way to kind of shake off those nerves if you were nervy about sleeping on the lead with a birdie at one, looking pretty good to start off round number two.
Yeah, good to start. Again, a lot of no names as far as people on the common golf fan side in this tournament, but a couple of guys with an opportunity to try and make a name for themselves. So off and rolling here, gettable numbers from what it looks like in these first couple of groups. So we'll see what happens as we move forward here. Anxious to see how far this number goes down for Scottie Scheffler as well. Projected cut is at 2 under at the moment. So we'll see what the early versus late wave scoring conditions are once we get going this afternoon.
And again, guys, getting ready to get out there. If you want to try to get in a little bit of action here and some round props, because a lot of times once the tournament starts, unless that player has begun it, you can't get in now for overall round number two. I did play Kurt Kitayama under 68 and a half, so got to shoot 3 under or better to cash that ticket for me. And also I've got little Denny McCarthy. He won't go off till the afternoon, so you got plenty of time to get that play in at 69 and a half, played his under round prop as well. Indians did not get a win, but we saw something that's rare in baseball in the history of the game. That is the immaculate inning for Gavin Williams, that fourth inning, to do that for the very talented right-hander for Cleveland. But it's the Twins, Jensen, that get that win in extras, 3-1, had to go all the way to 12 to get it done yesterday in Cleveland.
Yeah, the Indians would have won that game. Guardians continue to be what they are, just a dumpster fire offensively. So again, you have an opportunity multiple times in extra innings without giving up a run in the top half of the inning. They can't get it done. Bad situational baseball yesterday, and it cost them a half game in the standings. White Sox idle yesterday. Their lead extends to 1.5 over Cleveland. Minnesota Titans to 4.5. As they earn a series split there. Around the Central, the Tigers needed to rally late in their game. Randy Dobnak, fresh off of dropping someone off from the Uber he used to drive, 5 scoreless innings there for Kansas City. And the Kansas City bullpen, well, doing what they usually do, Dave. They give up late leads. It's unfortunate. This is one of those teams we really liked at the beginning of the year. They are going to be sellers at the deadline. Detroit comes back, and that's a big win, Dave, because in our grand scheme of things, that helps tighten Detroit's deficit on the final wild card spot down to 4 games. So a lot of action later on today, but some consequential results yesterday as well.
Did you ever have an immaculate inning? What'd you say? There's only been 120 of them in the history of the game. Is that
120.
Correct?
That's correct.
In college, did you ever get one at Vandy? I'm sure you were close.
Boy, off the top of my head, I don't know if I were. Maybe 12 pitches it took me to get three strikeouts. So, yeah, for those that don't know, immaculate inning, 9 pitches, all strikes, and you strike out the side. Only 120 times now with Gavin Williams that has occurred in Major League Baseball.
You would think it would happen more, but that's pretty amazing. The history of the game dates back into the 1800s. They only get it done 120 times, at least that we know in recorded history. Diego Pavia, another Vanderbilt guy. Well, he's looking for a job because the Ravens have already waived him. It feels like we just got there. And I guess you only get a second chance. You never get a second chance to make that first impression. And it didn't go good enough to keep him potentially on this roster. So Baltimore already making way on their roster. Now, it does give him time to catch on somewhere else, which is the good news of this process. Jensen, I just wonder, is there really going to be a someone else? It'd be interesting to see if somebody kicks the tires here.
And the thought was, too, that, oh, wow, okay, so he signs with a team with a veteran quarterback room. I mean, what an understudy opportunity with Lamar Jackson there. Even with Tyler Huntley, very well-traveled veteran and a guy that has won some big NFL games in his tenure. So we'll wait and see what the fallout is. You know there will be, Dave. This is not a player that is short on media attention or being outspoken. So I'm sure that we'll get one side of the story at the very least, if not both sides here in the coming weeks.
You know, last year, this time, a lot of the talk was about Shedeur Sanders and the draft that had happened and whether all those sort of things that you're alluding to with Diego Pavia, whether or not it really affected his opportunities, shall we say. Do you think that's going to play a part here going forward of Diego and his past and kind of some of his antics that teams are like, you know what? It's just not worth the squeeze.
There is a part of that. Okay, so let me redirect. Do you think this is a Johnny Manziel type situation? Mm. And again, you know, this is the NFL is so big, at least organizationally, on character. Like, we want character guys to a certain extent, at least when you're drafting them. We have seen plenty of examples like, you really drafted that guy with what happened?
Yeah, right.
What
he's exactly.
Done? So again, this is, he is by far not the worst character guy, but by far not the best as far as you're playing the most premium position, the most recognizable of a franchise. Is that what a franchise wants? Is that the image that they want? And I'm sure that played a part in it too, Dave. So sure. Winning cures most ills in the NFL. It does not cure all of them.
And I think that cautionary tale, and boy, you guys know it well in that neck of the woods with Johnny Manziel being a first-round pick and then seeing how quickly that went south, right? So I think that sometimes height does matter. And then if you're an undersized quarterback to begin with and you have some of that quote-unquote baggage, although a great, great season last year at Vanderbilt, I think some GMs are going to go, well, he's not going to play for us anyway. Why do we want to bring him in if we don't think this is going to be a good mix? We'll see if he gets another opportunity. I bet you that story is not done, though, Jensen, yet. For his NFL journey, I think he's going to get one more shot at this thing, and we'll see if he can stick somewhere else. Tarek Skubal says he wants to stick right there in Detroit. He does not want to go anywhere else. He says, I want to finish the season, didn't say career, want to finish the season with the Motor City Kitties and win a World Series right here in Detroit. Well, that's great for the player, and I'm sure the fan base likes to hear that. Jensen, does that affect the front office at all?
No, I mean, they already know that he's the most prized possession on the trade market. And again, you appreciate the player and what he's done, and you hope that it is 100% genuine. But he's going to be a free agent after the year. Whether he wears Tiger stripes again after 2026 remains to be seen. Will he wear them in under 2 weeks is more the pressing point here. And a lot can be alleviated if the Tigers go on a nice big winning streak, because then Scott Harris in this front office will say, nope, we're in a wide open American League. We got the best pitcher in our eyes in baseball. We got a pretty darn good number two in Framber Valdez, and our offense is actually showing signs of improvement. Why not go for it? We're not chasing some juggernaut, or we're not looking up at some team that everyone's trying to get to. So a lot to find out here in the next 10 days for sure.
And that's great for the player. Of course, he wants to stay right there. And then when he's a free agent, then he's going to say, well, I'm a free agent. Detroit, I gave you everything I had. I told the fans I didn't want to go anywhere. And then I'm going to leave, because you know he's going to go to the highest bidder. And that's probably not going to be in Detroit. Like Jensen, it's a good thing to say. And it makes a lot of sense. But it's all pro player right there. If you're Tarek Skubal, if the organization very quickly, is it almost the Shohei rebound that they saw what happened there when they basically got, you know, compensatory picks and that's it? And they did not get close to what they could have gotten if they actually moved Shohei Ohtani. I remember Artie Moreno said back then, I don't want to be the owner to trade Shohei Ohtani. Do they have to do their due diligence and move him if they feel like in 2 weeks they can't make a run at this thing?
You see, the Angels were never threatening for the playoffs. I think that's the difference is we knew for about a month that year that not only were the Angels going to be sellers, but they should have done the right thing and at least gotten something right back. I think the Tigers are in more of a conundrum because at the beginning of the year, Dave, you know, the whole issue with the arbitration hearing, that was a black eye. Then they go out and get Framber Valdez and it kind of felt like, oh, okay, well, maybe Tarek Skubal is going to be here through the end of the season and they'll have one last dance with this group in tow. A lot of dynamic shifting and the way they started the season, not ideal, but they've been a lot better here as of late. And again, I'll reiterate, it's wide open in the American League. So you got the best pitcher. You feel like you've got an offense that if you bolster that, here's the telltale sign, Dave, is if you do continue to win, now you become a buyer and you really have to be able to give it your very best shot to try and win in this postseason.
I don't think you and I handicap with College Football 27 to figure out who's going to win this thing. But the simulations that they ran says it's going to be the Buckeyes, Jensen. So if they win it, they're going to go, man, I just got to get College Football 27. They're going to tell me he's going to win the national championship. But when they run the simulations over and over and over and over again, the most times it came up in the positive for the Buckeyes. Jensen, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility that we see them win this thing again.
We're fine with that. If the video game is going to speak it into existence, that's all good for us here in the OHIO.
But it's not a dog. It's not a dog that's predicting this. It's College Football 27 that has now predicted this video game simulation here. All right, when we come back, I wish that dog would say that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year. Maybe I get to the window on them. Let's break down America's team when we come back. And what are their real expectations this year? That's next, right here on Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The VSiN NFL betting guide is out as we speak. So whether you're betting those futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, the Roy, or the Super Bowl in and of itself, our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camps are set to begin. Inside, you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, future analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today. Our football special is just $175. And the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That's in February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. No, this is not a segment just because I'm sitting in this chair. It's a segment for you, America. On your football team, it's time to break down the Dallas Cowboys in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
Hut, hut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
I've always kidded in my TV days that if you want ratings, you talk about the Cowboys. It's kind of tried and true. We're not doing this for ratings. We're doing this for money. We're trying to figure out what is the right angle for the Dallas Cowboys this year. Look, Brian Schottenheimer, the second-year head coach, is very heady on this team this year. Says, we're going to be playing in February. We plan on playing in that Super Bowl. Now, to do that and to win it, it's 25-1. That's pretty short. That's shorter than they've been in quite some time. 50-1, north of that last year. 13-1 to win the NFC. That's shorter than what it normally is as well. You see they are second betting choice here behind the Eagles at plus 235 to win the division. To make the playoffs, you can get plus money, albeit small plus money, plus $1.05. In that win total, yes, you can play 8.5, as I have done. It is juiced at that point. You can get plus money at 9.5. Jensen, to do those other three things, shall we say, at least in the NFC, to make the playoffs, win the East, and the NFC title, you've got to win, you would think, at least 10 games here. Where are you on the Cowboys when you look at them objectively?
Yeah, so we'll put you as Lieutenant Daniel Caffey. I will be Captain Jack Ross for this exercise, because it clearly looks like you will have to defend what looks like on paper a team that should win. But man, when we see this occur, Dave, it never happens. So I guess the first thing I look at is the division, and knowing that in our VSiN NFL betting guide, there are a lot of people, and 14 out of 23 of our hosts and experts that selected the Philadelphia Eagles to win the division. I was one of those, the Cowboys, 7 of our 23, which I know you were a part of. And then the Washington Commanders had 2 selections, I believe Gil Alexander, one of the two, a native Washingtonian of our nation's capital there. Here's what I like. I do like the offensive weaponry. You know that I have told that to you. I think this will be an elite attack. If Dak wants to throw it 35 times a weekend, I'm okay with that. And I'm sure Brian Schottenheimer would say, well, hold the phone here. We want to be able to run the football. We want to be able to move the line of scrimmage at our leisure. All well and dandy, but I got to be honest, Dave, if I got one guy on the left in CeeDee Lamb, I got another guy on the right in George Pickens, I feel really nice going one way or another. So all that being said, again, it's about the line of scrimmage. It's about health, and it's about letting Dak do what he does. I think I'm slightly more emboldened by the defense, and you know me. I love me some Caleb Downs. Watched him do it here for years in the Ohio State. You trade up to get him. Remember texting you on draft night, like, not that you were overjoyed, but you were like in that, okay, this is really, really good. This is us identifying an opportunity to go get a game-changing talent from day one. You come back in to get Malachi Lawrence from Central Florida, the edge rusher there. So it feels like a better squad. But with that come expectations, and not that there aren't expectations every year for the Cowboys, the talent is there. Can they get it into a position where the offense and the defense kind of rises to the offensive level? Because we think that they're going to score points. I don't think they have a problem with that. Can they prevent now from other offenses taking advantage? I think they're a better offense or better defensive unit on paper this year, Dave, than what they were last year.
Well, Your Honor, for the record, I'd like to clarify, I was overjoyed that they got Caleb Downs, and certainly was overjoyed where they got Caleb Downs and that they got him right after John Harbaugh could have drafted him with the Giants. I couldn't believe that John Harbaugh didn't take Caleb Downs. Now, look, you told me I could have any player, I would have taken Sonny Styles out of this draft. Past that, Caleb Downs was the perfect fit for this defense. And that, you know, I'm really impressed with what, and I know Jerry, when things go south, Jerry gets the blame. When things go well, they want to try to figure out other people to give it to. I don't play that game. I'm going to give it to Jerry. And I think what he's done with this defense by trading away Micah Parsons last year really was the first step into rebuilding. He realized this defense is not good enough with Micah. We got to get some capital. They've turned that into Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark up front. I love what they're being able to do up front. They couldn't stop anybody a year ago before that trade for Micah Parsons. They couldn't stop anybody with Micah Parsons defensively. Then you add Caleb Downs to that back. Look, Rashawn Gary coming over from the Packers as well. That defense on paper is tenfold better than it was a year ago. Jensen, I don't need them to be tenfold better. I just need them to be maybe 3 or 4, and this is a locked playoff team if they can give you that. You just pick a Tyler on this offensive line, because we're going to talk always about Dak. We're talking about the weapons and CD and Pickens, and they're going to get all the highlights. It's the Guyton's, it's the Smith's, it's the Booker's. And have they hit on those picks as well, especially Tyler Booker coming in there just big nasty at right guard. Cooper Beebe at center is really good. They've got 4. Look, Terrence Steele had some issues with Terrence through the years at right tackle. That would be the weak part. And he's gotten better as time has gone on. But you got 4 guys in that offensive line that I would put up there against anybody. And that is really why this has the chance to be the best offense in the entirety of the NFL. It's what they do up front. That Javonte Williams could come in there on surgically repaired knees and look as good as he looked last year. They could run it. They could pass it at will. And that's Brian Schottenheimer's offense that he came in with and was there as the understudy with Dak when Mike McCarthy was there. When he left, it was an easy transition. I really like the way Brian coached this football team in year number one. That defense is going to be better in year number two. Jensen, full systems go for America's team this year. If not now, when? Look, they've won divisional titles in the last 30 years. They haven't won any NFC titles in 30-plus years since 1995. It's been a long time. I think no better time than the present. This feels like a football team that's capable of winning and winning big.
All right, so the first handful of games I think are really advantageous, not only from a Circa Million standpoint, but also from a Survivor standpoint. And I don't think we want to, you know, run out and take the Cowboys in a Survivor league if you are playing Circa, where you are going to have to hold Dallas as an option for Thanksgiving. Albeit, you may want to forego it because it is Cowboys Eagles, but that
right.
to each their own there. The millions angle I wanted to illuminate to you, and again, a great part of our VSiN NFL betting guide, everyone has a series trend of each opponent each week. I'm looking at week two as something you and I might just be able to just lock and load sight unseen. Dallas is on an 8-1 ATS run hosting Washington. Now, I don't care if it is Jaden Daniels. I don't give a damn who is running out there, if it's Marcus Mariota or anyone else who is the signal caller for the Commanders. It has felt so one-sided watching that head-to-head part of the series for the last handful of years. The other one I like, and you saw this last year, this team was 13-4 to the over. I mean, they're an over machine, and I know a lot of that also had to do with the defense was a sieve. But I'm looking at week three. When they play Baltimore, and that'll be in Rio, you've got a 5-0-1 over trend in that head-to-head series. So it may not matter, you know, going down there to South America to say, put the track shoes on, boys and girls. This is going to be back and forth into the 30s. No problems whatsoever.
Look, if you want to take that angle that Jensen just gave you, people, if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network or on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius Channel 158, the Cowboys right now in week two are 4.5-point favorites against the Commanders. It won't be 4.5 if they go out there and lay a number on the Giants on Sunday Night Football. That'll be 7. That'll be one of those moves we're talking about. Oh, my goodness, this one a full field goal. So to me, you know, even if they stumbled out of the gates, I wouldn't mind. Again, you might get a shorter number if the Commanders come out strong. But that point, Jensen, of 4.5, I was expecting to see 6.5 on my screen today. And to see it's only 4.5 back home in week two, I think it's a really smart angle right there. If sight unseen, we don't know about injuries, you're never going to be as healthy going into a season as you will week one. So there will be some nicks and bruises going into week two. Kind of like that angle here for the Cowboys minus 4.5 in week two, if you don't mind tying up your money here against those Commanders. Been very good, as you mentioned, 8-1 to the number against the Commanders in recent years. When we come back, let's talk more Cowboy football with a Cowboy insider. That's Mike Fisher. He's going to join the program next. And I know that expectations are high, and as you mentioned, Jensen, sometimes they fall short of those expectations. What are the potential pitfalls? And really, what is the ceiling for this team? We'll talk about it next with Mike right here on VSiN by the Books. We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you talking about America's team, Dallas Cowboys, getting ready for what could be a very interesting season for the Cowboys. High expectations for this team. They're always high. They feel a little bit higher this year, Jensen. Here to help us break them down, Mike Fisher does a great job as Cowboys insider for CowboysRoundtable.com. Give him a follow on X at Fish Sports and joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning to you, Mike. You know this, covering this team, the expectations and the hype around a team every year. But it does feel higher this year. 9.5 is the win total that we're seeing here at VSiN. What do you think are the realistic expectations here for Jerry and company this year?
Yeah, and the hype never goes away. And that's probably, we're probably going back to, you know, 50 years for that. And so the hype, as long as we know what the word hype means, that's legitimate. The expectations thing is funny. I think ESPN did a big, of course, ESPN, I mean, every other segment they have on TV is about the Cowboys. But they did a big thing the other day saying, you know, no excuses anymore. And I'm just watching this knowing, recognizing, again, they're just trying to fill segments. But it's not about excuses. The reason they went 7-9-1 last year isn't, there's no like made up excuse for it. Their defense was arguably the worst in franchise history, almost certainly the worst in the league last year, and maybe by some of the numbers, one of the worst defense to ever play in the NFL. So that's not an excuse. So when we make the jump to expectations, I think that's where we have to start. Are you really going to turn around with a 34-year-old rookie defensive coordinator and all the changes they have made on defense, including Jerry Jones and company spending some money to make things happen? Are you really going to turn around the number 32 defense from a year ago into a team good enough defensively so you flip your record as well? So you don't get, you know, 7 wins and 9.5 losses, that you get 10 wins and become a playoff contender.
Mike, as a Buckeye fan here in Ohio, we've seen obviously what Caleb Downs can do year in and year out. So I already know what he's capable of. The move to get Malachi Lawrence too, and really bolster that front and pass rush, I think is awesome. Anyone else we're missing as far as additions defensively that you feel will be key players here this season?
Well, I think you start with Caleb Downs, and you're right. That's about as blue chip a guy. And this isn't, again, this isn't cowboy hype, and this isn't cowboy fake expectations. In terms of a lot of scouting rooms for a lot of teams, he's about as pure a blue chip guy as has come along in a while. And what's important around here is, for a long time, I mean, we're going back to Darren Woodson now. This team has not valued safety. They've just viewed, in a salary cap era, they've said, you know, maybe guard and maybe safety are two places where you can get away with not being a big spender. Well, they've changed that on guard, obviously. And then for the first time in a long time, they've done safety different. And Caleb Downs is part of that. The Jalen Thompson signing from Arizona, who I think people are kind of sleeping on him because nobody ever watches the Arizona Cardinals, and they don't realize, you know, when they have something good going on there, nobody sees it anyway, so nobody knows it. But he's a big-time helper. Kobe Durant comes over as a rotational corner from the Rams, so that changes your secondary somewhat. They do sign trade for D. Winters to help at linebacker from the 49ers. That's a kind of across your fingers, but it'll make them better than they were last year. Your Malachi Lawrence point is a good one, and there is some sentiment. I think this is frankly ridiculous. Well, you know, he was a first-round pick, too, just like Caleb Downs, so he should help just as much as Caleb Downs. Now, that's asking too much. Malachi Lawrence is going to try to make a big jump here, play a different position than he played previously under a rookie coordinator with different – by the way, Christian Parker installing a new defense here with new terminology. But Malachi Lawrence can do anything on a level that Caleb Downs can do it. Okay, now you've got the makings of a turnaround. And they trade for Rashawn Gary from Green Bay, and then Donovan Easy. Those are the two starting. We don't get to call them defensive ends anymore around here because it's a 3-4 hybrid defense. So those are the two edge rusher, outside linebackers, whatever. And then Malachi Lawrence as a third guy there, you cross your fingers that he can help right away.
Yeah, I don't know if Tom Landry, with this 3-4 defense, Mike, if he'd be able to handle these changes that they're going to do. They're going to look very different from decades past here for this Cowboy defense. On the offensive side, we know how good Dak has been as a leader. I know now in the MVP market, he's about the 8th betting choice here, 13-1. Is that realistic with the weapons he has on the outside? It looks like they're pretty good up front. Just grab a Tyler and you should be okay, Mike. Are the expectations MVP level if they're going to get to the visions of grandeur that I know Brian Schottenheimer has for this football team?
Yeah, and it's kind of chicken or the egg. Are they going to be a contender for the playoffs because Dak's an MVP quarterback? Or is Dak going to get MVP attention because the football team's so good? The fact is, and he's had obviously outstanding regular seasons and finished second in MVP voting a couple years ago, but over the course of a decade-long career, he has not been good enough to lift his teammates to where they need to be when it really counts, and that's why this team only has 2 playoff wins over the course of the Dak Prescott era. And that's not an insult on Prescott, who is, in my years of covering the NFL, and I'm 36 years covering the Cowboys, And I'm glad, I appreciate you mentioning our Twitter account at Fish Sports. We're at CowboysRoundtable.com as well. And then plus 40 years covering the NFL, Dak by far is the guy who is, when we try to judge him, when even not just fans, but media and people that proclaim themselves as experts, he's all over the spectrum in terms of how you judge him. He's great. He's lousy. He's mediocre. He chokes. He's a hero. He gets all these things tagged to him. The fact is they have surrounded him now. The offensive line, I mean, they've dumped a lot of assets to put together the offensive line, including first-round picks. The wide receiver core, there's nobody better with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, a rehabbed, reputation-wise, George Pickens. They think they have a good tight end in Jake Ferguson, although last year he was kind of Jake Ferguson in a cloud of dust. That won't do. They bring in Javonte Williams, and he's a revelation for them, so they re-up him at running back. So, yeah, their offense is loaded with dazzling personalities. There is this flaw, though. As good as they were in so many ways, and they've been top five kind of offense for a long time around here. Last year, when it came to scoring in the red zone, they went the whole last month of the season without being able to do it in the second half of games, and they ended up 16th in the NFL in scoring in the red zone. Well, that's not very special. So I don't care how dazzling you are, and MVP votes, and look at all our Pro Bowlers. If you can't convert touchdowns consistently, then you're not very good. And so last year wasn't just all about the defense. It was about that on offense as well.
Mike, they have the best kicker in football. You get to the 50-yard line, you basically might as well be in the red zone, or at least in scoring with what is probably one of the greatest weapons there to have at midfield. Let me ask you about the early part of the season, because, again, you get the primetime Sunday nighter to start, division foe. Of course, we know all the hype with John Harbaugh coming in as the head coach now, the Giants. You get a Commanders team that this club has owned at home here the last handful of seasons, and then down to Rio to take on the Ravens before you got to travel in-state to take on the Texans. What's a fair mark for you maybe through the first 6 weeks? Because then it's Thursday night football against the Bucs and also at home Sunday night against the Packers. What would you take on paper right now for this club and say, that works and we're really on a trajectory to make the playoffs?
Well, and you certainly don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, although you just did. But it's your show. I mean, you get to do that if you want to. But history says against these two opponents, history says you start 2-0. And you know, we have no idea what some of these teams are going to look like. And like the Ravens in Rio, I mean, we don't know what the Ravens are going to look like, and we don't know what Rio is going to look like. But I certainly love the Cowboys' chances of continuing to pound on the other teams in the NFC East, especially those two traditional non-contenders with the Giants and the Commanders. This goes to the Dak era and much more than that. I mean, I'm sure you have the records at your fingertips. You probably talk about a lot, but it's incredible. The Dak Prescott's record against teams in this division and the Cowboys' record against teams in this division, it's as good as it gets. I mean, it's got to be, and I don't know what Buffalo is. I don't know what Kansas City is, but it's got to be right there. And it might be like all time right there. And so let's start there. Let's continue as the Cowboys in years when they're pretty good have done. Let's show that there's a real difference between the have-nots in the NFC East, which has been Washington, the Giants most of the time. And let's see if the Cowboys are one of the haves.
I absolutely love that breakdown. You're exactly right. If they're going to have success, you better beat up on, quote unquote, the weaker underbelly there of the NFC East before, if the Eagles are still going to be a big boy, we'll find out what that looks like. Mike, we appreciate the time. Everybody, give him a follow on X, Fish Sports, and check out CowboysRoundtable.com. And, Mike, I hope we see a lot more victory formation flexes there, the Cowboy flex for Tom Landry. I love that homage to the great Tom Landry back in the day. Yes, we're going to talk much more football and certainly some baseball as well at the Daily Diamond, the Daily Dockets. They're coming up straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.
The Books, right here on VSiN.
Wow. Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages. They're going to put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest absolutely free of charge. One winner is going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another one's going to get a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Now, both winners are going to receive a full season Winner's Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. Fascinating conversation we just had with Mike Fisher. A lot of tweets already coming in about the Cowboys, and they're going to be a polarizing team, Jensen, in the betting markets. I can totally understand that. So I will say, though, for the record, I do have them over 8.5 wins, laid a little bit of juice there, $1.40, played that just to win total over 9.5. as well at plus $1.15. Much more football talk, not just on this show today, but obviously as we get closer and closer, less than 2 weeks away from the Hall of Fame game. But we got much more to do. I'm going to do some of that right now in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Jensen, let's go ahead and take a look at what's going on. Very quickly, going to update the golf that's going on at the 3M Open. And right now, Ben Coles is still your leader. How about this? Another birdie for Ben. Birdies for Ben. Two birdies in his first four holes. He's now at 11 under par, Jensen. I said earlier in the program, I might have to eat my words, that I'm going to be drafting off of Scottie Scheffler and not Ben Coles. I think with a start like this, Jensen, we might have to rethink that process and start to look at Ben here as a legitimate possibility of winning this golf tournament. He's 6-1 coming into the day. He's already been shorted to plus 390 in live action at 11 under par.
Yeah, okay, so I'll give you the floor here. What exactly will you be looking at now if people want to jump in live into this tournament and knowing kind of where the early group is? Because I think you had mentioned yesterday it was a bit of difference between how the course allowed some scoring early versus late. So what can you already see from these early groups that really looks advantageous to jump in on?
Well, I mentioned Gary Woodland would be the sentimental choice at 13-1 before play began. He's already one under through one hole. He's been shorted already to 10-1. So what I'm seeing now, that's a $3 move for one birdie for Gary Woodland. A little bit pricey from my point. I mentioned Jackson Koivun, that you had a look at that youngster. He has made a bogey early today, so he's already dropped down to 6 under par. He's drifted to 12-1. But you want to talk about respect in the marketplace already, Jensen? You're talking about a major champion in Gary Woodland, who won a U.S. Open, who's two shots clear of young Jackson Koivun, and yet in the betting market, it's 10-1 for Gary and 12-1 live for a guy like Jackson Koivun. That shows you in the betting market, the kid is already getting mad respect out there in his very young PGA Tour career. I'm not ready to make an investment like that here on Jackson at 12-1. Because again, I felt like if you played him, I talked about him on Tuesday in this very program, could have got him around 25-1, close to 30-1. That would have been the price point to play. But now at 12-1 with an early bogey, I'd have to monitor how he's going to play it. But you mentioned it. You want to go out and get it early. It does seem like right now we're seeing that cut line fluctuate between 2 and 1 under par. So the scoring does feel good, but there are some bogeys I'm seeing being made out there. Pearson Cootie had a couple of them early. He's at 1 over through 3, and Kevin Yu is already 1 over through 1 hole 2. So maybe today, not being able to see the course set up, maybe they've made a little bit more difficult than what we saw early on in the day yesterday. But again, the guys that I'm looking at that have not teed off yet today, I'm looking at the defending reigning champion of this tournament here, in Kurt Kitayama, who, Jensen, had a bogey and a triple bogey on his front nine yesterday and yet still shot 3 under par. So that's the type of guy I'd look at as he had drifted on the odds board, and trying to get you a live number on him now. And you can get Kurt Kitayama around 50-1. He is even par through 2 holes here early, but yet he's only 3 back of Scotty, but he is 8 back now of Ben Coles. So at some point in the betting market, we're going to have to take Ben Coles a little bit more seriously than maybe we've done so far today. But again, that's the guys I'm looking at. And Denny McCarthy at 5 under par. He's going to go in the afternoon wave, Jensen. I would look at Denny. I do think, not to say that he's going to win this tournament, but he has been close in quote-unquote lesser events like this. it feels like a perfect week for a little Denny McCarthy to be around the top of the leaderboard here come Sunday. That's what I'm hoping for. At least.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch. Let me throw a quick pivot at you. I was thinking about this as Mike Fisher, for those that didn't hear that interview live, please go back, like, and follow our VSiN by the Books podcast, wherever you get your podcast. I know he said, hey, it's your show and don't want to look too far out, but we like to do it, especially with Circus Survivor. And for those that haven't watched episode one of the documentary yet, please go ahead and do that. Go back on YouTube. Excellent spot to kind of get the juices flowing here. That's where I wanted to throw an idea at you. And let's keep the circa idea and the competition in mind here for both not only Thanksgiving Eve, Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, and then also the Christmas slate, because you'll have to keep those teams inundated for those specific weeks. We obviously know that it will be Dallas and Philadelphia in one of those three games on the Thanksgiving slate as far as Thanksgiving Day. I didn't realize this till I read our VSiN NFL betting guide. Dallas is 7-1 ATS in their last eight when they host the Eagles. I didn't realize it was that one-sided, Dave, considering what we've seen from Jalen Hurts in this group the last handful of years. I want to ask you in the general survivor picture here. Let's say that you get out there and you're mapping it out. Because it is such a tightly contested, at least on paper, divisional matchup, would you entertain holding Philadelphia or Dallas for Thanksgiving, or would you just sit back and say, you know what, we got to let that one ride? I don't have to worry in the Christmas week. Maybe I hold Dallas or Philadelphia then. How do you approach those two teams knowing they're going to lock horns on Thanksgiving Day?
You know, this is why I love our network, and certainly Gil Alexander has talked about this for years on this network. Yes, it's called Circus Survivor, but are you trying to win, right? And I am looking at that as I cannot play those in Circa. Again, everybody's is going to have different leagues that they're out there in. But for Circa purposes, and I am in Survivor with my guy John Chu again for a second year in a row, I will not be touching the Cowboys and or the Eagles until down in that part, because I want to have that ammo late to try to win, right? Yes, you got to survive. We all understand that point. But to Gil's greater point is you're trying to win. You're trying to zig when others are zagging a little bit. And if you're not left with the viable option, if you remember on Black Friday last year, I remember very clearly Gil was talking about playing the Bears in that Friday game against the Eagles when you had to use those in circuit purposes. And people are like, what are you crazy? Why would you do that? He's like, well, because the field's going to be betting the Eagles. And what happened? The Bears won that game there in the link in Philadelphia on that Friday. And that could really set you apart. So I'd like to have those options later, Jensen, with both teams. Not to say that, you know, I'd be looking at today to bet the Eagles when I think a lot of people would be betting the Cowboys at home when you get down there to Thanksgiving. That's naturally where my inclination would go. But if you get to that point of Survivor or any Survivor-esque league that might not be named Circa and you still have those options on the board, man, those are great options to have, Jensen, because it gives you some pivot points if you have both teams still available instead of going with what you think the standard's going to be, which would be, you would think, the Cowboys at home on Thanksgiving. Again, not advocating just to blindly play the other side, but if you get to that point and you have those options and that game turns out to be a little bit more coin flippy than what we think it's going to be today, yeah, Jensen, I say hold. Braveheart, just Mel Gibson this thing, hold and just wait and see if you can hold your powder and keep that baby dry until you really need to fire. I think that's exactly the way that I would handicap this when you get to Thanksgiving, and then hopefully you'll still have some fire and ammo left when you get to Christmas. That's exactly the way I'd look at it.
Man, fascinating to look at. One other spot for you here, since we are talking a little NFC East, is there a feel that we can get a bounce back on the Commanders this year? Because I think I understand why Gil picked them, but is there respect for a bounce back? God, the injuries to Jaden Daniels last year, pretty significant. And knowing kind of where they are offensively, do you feel they bounce back or not?
I don't know if you recall, because it might have predated us, but I said the day that Dan Quinn got hired here in the network, he's normally got a shelf life of about three. Look, I really like, you know this, I like Dan Quinn a lot. He's a great DC, right? And he was a really good DC with Seattle and the Legion of Boom. He was a really good head coach in Atlanta, and we all know what happened in that fourth quarter against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And then we saw it, like the last memory of Dan Quinn as a DC in Dallas, I think the Packers just scored again. I have worries about that defense. I really do. Now, Sonny Styles, you know I love Sonny Styles. I got a lot of issues with that defense. I don't know if he can fix all that ails them right now in Washington, D.C. Let's talk some baseball. Daily Diamond's coming up. Lou Finocchiaro's going to join us as well. He's got some football picks to go with the UFC. That's all coming up right here on VSiN by the Books.